capacity. Amen. 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 It's great to be in the house this morning. Amen. Who liked that last song that we just sang? I think there was an anointing on that song. Amen. What a powerful song. And well done, Rob and the team. You know, Gail spoke about going into a new season. And, you know, ministries are changing. We have new music coming into the house. We have new people stepping up into new roles. And you know, this morning I want to bring a word from God's word. And it's a simple word, but it's a word that I believe will challenge some people in the house as well this morning. And I'm just going to hand this morning over now to God. So if you just bear with me now and we're going to pray. So Father, we thank you this morning, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. That, Father, as we sang that song, Lord, that you love us, Lord God. And, Father, I ask now this morning, Lord, that everything within me, Father, everything fleshly, Lord, would fall to the ground, Lord. And that, Father, that your word would be spoken here this morning, Lord. That your word, Father God, would take root in your people of this house in their hearts, Lord. Father, we ask, Lord God, that you would just build a wall of protection around this place right now, Lord God, that nothing would be robbed here this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Louise Cassidy for all the visitors that's in the house here today. And I'm married to Stephen and we have two kids. And, you know, this morning, as I said, I want to bring a word. It's a very simple word. Just bear with me. And the title of my sermon is The Walk of Praise. And, you know, sometimes we will hear on the news, on the internet, the latest celebrity that has been added to the well-known street pavements of Hollywood's Boulevard Walk of Fame. Who has ever heard of that? Yeah. Good. This Walk of Fame is simply a pavement that has pink glittering stars that go up rows and rows of streets. And these stars detail some of the well-known celebrities like Christina Aguilera, Halle Berry, Janet and Michael Jackson, Kevin Bacon, Nicolas Cage, Ray Charles. These people, they have all been honored for their achievement in the entertainment industry. Their status has changed overnight. Their profile goes up another notch and they become more recognized publicly, globally, and some of them have even come into the category known as A-lister celebrities. You know, this Walk of Fame in Hollywood is reported to have up to 10 million people that visit this every year. So where am I going with this? Well, as I said, the title of my sermon is The Walk of Praise. And sometimes, as believers, when we walk the path of our own Christianity, we have things that go well for us, and we have things that don't go so well for us, and we have fears that come into our lives. And think about this. When a person is fearful, doesn't the color drain from their face? Likewise, when a person is filled with the joy of the Lord, doesn't their face seem to glow? Just like our A-lister celebrities, status who can change overnight, our circumstances can change also in a heartbeat with God. But sometimes something even bigger happens, we change. As believers, we become more recognized. We become more recognized spiritually. We become more radiant. We experience the joy of the Lord more. Would you agree? Amen. You know, I want to have a look this morning at a scripture. and it's in Psalm 34. So if you want to turn with me there. And this scripture was wrote by David. And David wrote this scripture in a time of his life where he endured hardship, where he endured pain. So let's read the scripture. I'm reading it from the New International Version. And the title of the psalm, it says, a psalm of David regarding the time he pretended to be insane in front of Amalek, who sent him away. And this is the opening line of this scripture. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my depression, I prayed and the Lord listened. This is David. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you, his godly people. For those who fear him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry. But those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. You know, just to back this up a little bit, I want to take a look at the background history as to why David wrote this scripture. You know, David wrote this psalm in a time of his life where fear was his very own soap opera that took a grip on him. And we all have things that we fear. And David was very much afraid. And as we read in line 4 of the scripture, he was a man full of fear. He had an enemy who was trying to pursue him. And that enemy was King Saul. He was so jealous of David that he wanted to wipe him out off the face of the earth. You know, Saul chased him around the wilderness. He chased him around like a wild rat for about 20 years. And here we see David. In a time of his life, he was alone. And this was a man that used to go out to the battlefield, and he would go out with thousands upon thousands of men, and he would take armies down. And here he was, a time of his life, he was alone. There was no men around him. He had no army of men around him. He had no equipment. He had no supplies. He had no food. He had nothing at this time of his life. And he becomes a fugitive on the run. And he went to a city called Nob. And he went there and he saw food and shelter off a high priest. You see, David needed a place where his fears of Saul could be put to rest. And he needed a place where he could have a deeper sense of encountering God. You see, David feared Saul more than his enemies, the Philistines. But David, in his time of fear, he forgot the promises of God. He forgot that he was the one, the anointed one, to be the next king to deliver Israel. And he forgot this. And in his despair as a fugitive on the run, he leaves all what is certain is behind him. And all what is uncertain is ahead of him. And he does a great thing. He goes into the house of the Lord, where he is taken under the care and guidance of the high priest, who offered him comfort, who offered him help, who gave him holy bread. And this holy bread was only for the priests at that time. And this priest broke all protocol, and he gave David some of this bread. This bread strengthened him. The priest also prayed with him. And he also helped David to get his focus back on God. And this helped remove any fears that David had. And it put him back on the path of God. Are you still with me? Okay. David, still being a fugitive on the run, he was still on the run from King Saul. He has to keep moving. He has to keep one step ahead of Saul all the time. So he goes to his enemy, the Philistines. The Philistines, he had fought them many times in battle. And he said to himself, no, I'll go there. Saul won't come there and look for me. So I'll go there and I'll hide out. These people will protect me. So he goes to the king, and it was the king of, the name of the place is called Gath. But he soon becomes discouraged and he becomes doubtful because he sensed an atmosphere when he went into that place. You see, the people began to recognize who David was. They began to recognize that this was the man that took Goliath out with a slingshot. This was the man that fought tens of thousands of men out in battles. So David, he quickly realizes that he's in trouble. So he kicks into plan B and he pretends to be a madman. This was a king that was going to take over Israel. Now here he is pretending to be a madman. And he has saliva coming out of the side of his mouth, running down his beard. And the people began to look at him, saying, is this the same David that fought Goliath? And you see, his plan was that the people would take their focus off David and just leave him be. And you know, that's exactly what they did. And you know, he wrote Psalm 34. He wrote that psalm, I will praise the Lord at all times because the Lord had delivered him from his enemies. His declaration of joy when he escapes his enemy was poured out of his heart. I will praise the Lord at all times. You know, when God's people praise him, the enemy is confused. We as believers must choose whether we will walk the path of praise for our Christianity. But when we consider carefully the path of praise to God, it leads to bigger and better things that tower high above our circumstances. You know, I read once about a woman, and her name was Cheryl. And this woman, Cheryl, she wanted a different life, but she just didn't know how to get it. And she spent many Sunday mornings in church nursing a hangover. But God kept wooing her. God kept saying, come on, just keep coming. And she kept responding as best she could. You see, this woman had a problem with alcohol and she begged God to take it away. The problem was she worked in a bar every Friday and Saturday night. And after work, her friends would say, come on, let's have drinks. Then she would beat herself up with guilt the next day. So she asked people in our local church to help her. So she began to memorize the Word of God. And 1 Corinthians 11:13, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. You see, Cheryl began to ask God for an escape route. She began to ask him for a way out of her situation. She said, you promised you would provide. This was the scripture that she had read. She began to extract and absorb the word of God. Lord, help me see it. And one Friday night, as Cheryl was going to pick up her wages, her son was asking her for weeks, could he go along? And she suddenly realized this was her way out. This was her ticket to freedom. The solution had been in front of her all along. From that night on, her young son became her Friday and Saturday night buddy. And the cycle of that particular sin began to be broken off her life. You see, the power of alcohol began to lose its grip on her life. And Cheryl swapped the drama of her life and began to walk the path of praise. You see, God led her to bigger and better things that towered high above her circumstances, and he answered her prayers. When we don't praise God, we become fugitives on the run. We become disgruntled Christians. And we begin to run away from God's truth. And our lives develop into a soap opera. As people, we all love some form of a soap opera that the TV will present to us. Like dramas like Coronation Street, EastEnders, Emmerdale, Friends, Desperate Housewives, Prime Suspect, The West Wing, CSI, The Royal Family. Not The Royal Family in Buckingham Palace. We love the plots, we love the mysteries, we love the suspense, we love the humour, we love the catfights, and we love the characters. Why? Because we can identify with some of the storylines. We can identify with the drama that these people act out of. When you look at the life of David, you begin to think, how did the Lord get him out of the situation that he got himself into? You see, David began to choose. He began to trust in the power and in the authority of God. He chose to believe that God was in control and even had a purpose for allowing the terrible things that he experienced to happen to him. For us believers, many, many times, we can only see the good in situations. And when something terrible happens to us in our lives, we find it hard to believe that God would allow this, and we find it hard to simply trust that God will bring us through it. Just like David, who fled from Saul, we can develop a fugitive mentality. God will not deliver me. God doesn't even like me. God won't set me free. God is not for me. Why would God love me? What can God do for me? I'm a disaster. I'm a sinner. You see, you need to get out of your own soapbox drama. Because, guys, this is what it looks like, and I'm going to show you, and I'm going to demonstrate. This is your soapbox. This is your life with all your stuff in it, and I'm going to get into it. You see, what happens is you begin to say to yourself, I'm not going down to that church down there in Ardee Street. You see that church that I go to? Well, every week I pay my tithes and there's nothing happening in my life. There's nothing changing in my life. I still have the same problems. I still have the same sickness. And I'm getting no breakthrough. Nothing will work for you going down to that church. You see? Yeah, well, you see, God is still after you. You can be a moaner. You can be a critic. You can be a doubter and stay in the soapbox. So you can stay in here. And this says, handle with extreme care. So I want to be handled with extreme care. I want to stay in here. You can stay in this and you can suffocate with all your problems. But God will still find a way of wooing you out. We sang about it. So you have a choice. Stay in the box or get out of the box. So I'm going to get out for a few minutes. One foot in and one foot out. So you stay in your soapbox. Or you can get out of the soapbox. So this is what I would prefer to do, and I think many more here in the house. We're going to kick that box right out of our lives. And that's where that box is going to stay. Because we're going to step up and we're going to praise God. And we're going to praise God when we're in the midst of our troubles. We're in the midst of our trials. And we're going to say, God, I don't understand why this is happening to me. But I understand, Lord, that you're going to bring me through. Amen? Amen. God says that he will promise He will promise. That's his word. That's his living word. He will promise to get you out of there. Just how willing are you to trust him? You see, the secret to trusting God is allowing his promises to be transformed in your life. So what does that look like? Well, we should praise God continually in the good times and the bad times, when we're up, when we're down. And you know, there was a young woman that came in here into this church about 5 years ago. And she came into this church under different circumstances. You know, and I remember getting talked to her. No, this is not for me. Oh no, I'm here for somebody else. And once they get sorted, I'll be gone. But you see, God used that situation to woo her in. And he kept wooing her, and he kept wooing her. And he kept bringing her in and bringing her in. And you know, this woman has served diligently in this house. She has had knocks. She has had a bumpy ride along the way. But God was faithful to her. And she was faithful to God. And this woman is going to be going to Bible college in September. And this woman is our very own Anne Tynan. Amen. And you know what, guys? If you want to hear Anne's story, grab a coffee with her. Because our God is not finished with her. She's going to Bible college. What's next? So I can't wait to see what's going to be unfold in your life, Anne.
Amen.
Amen. And then, you know, as I said, we need to praise God when we're up. We need to praise him when we're down. But I can't praise God when I'm down. And you say to yourself, it's not natural. You're right. It's not natural. It's supernatural. And this may be when you need to praise him the most. You see, we can praise God at any time and in any place. We can praise him on the mountain or in the valley. We can praise him when we have fears and when we are delivered from fears. We can praise him for protecting us from our enemies, that we don't have to face them. You see, we should praise, glorify, and exalt the Lord, not only because he deserves it, but because we need victory. And the path of praise increases us to bigger and better things than what normal life can bring. You see, we need victory, and walking in victory only happens when you're on the path of praise. Your marriage may need healing here this morning. And one of the keys to victory is found on the path of praise. Your financial situation, you may be penniless. And one of the keys to victory is found on the path of praise. Your health may be in poor condition. You may be unemployed. And the keys to victory is found where? On the path of praise. And you might be spiritually bankrupt here this morning. And the keys to victory is found on the path of praise. You see, David, he stopped being a fugitive. And he jumped out of his very own soapbox. He got back onto the road of praising God. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. His praise will flow out of my mouth. David remembered the promises of God. You know, when Moses sent the spies out to check out the promised land, Joshua and Caleb were the 2 out of the 12 that came back. And the other 10, all they could see was the giants. They said, they're all giants in that land. But Joshua and Caleb, they came back and they reported, no, they're only grasshoppers. They're only grasshoppers, and our God can squash them. And you may be looking at your problems this morning, and they might look like giants to you, or maybe they are giants to you. But when you take refuge in God, he can make it look like a grasshopper, your problems. You know, taking refuge in God, what does it look like? Well, it's not always easy. It's not always easy to understand what taking refuge in God will look like in the midst of spiritual struggles. That's why David wrote Psalms. That's why he said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joy of those who take refuge in him. Even in David's sin, the grace of God comes to him. This is a reminder for us, even in our transgressions, we can still come to Jesus and find a place of refuge. You see, those who seek refuge in Jesus will always seek immediate forgiveness. Those who take refuge in Jesus will always obey his ways by diffusing the soapbox dramas. And those who seek Jesus will have the joy, they will have confidence in the midst of struggles. Most of us, most of the time, find it easier to take refuge in another human being than in the Lord. Some of us are too scared of letting go of our current status. You see, we don't really want to leave the results of our life to God. And in today's language, a place of refuge has to do with the way we feel secure. So are we secure in material things in the world? What makes us feel secure? Making God your refuge is all about hiding yourself inside his presence, here and all around you. See, King David wrote, "But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord my refuge." Psalm 73. You see, we need to depend on the nearness of God. God designed you and me to need something close to you in order to find refuge. God knows what you need. It is his desire to draw near to you and be your God more fully than what you may ever know was possible.